From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First headlines. Indonesia going to regulate artificial intelligence, balancing innovation and ethics. Investment in special economic zones reaches 167.2 trillion rupiah in 2023. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government will soon issue a regulation on the utilization of artificial intelligence or AI. This was conveyed by Minister of Communication and Informatics Budi Arisetyadi on Wednesday as quoted by Antara. He also stated that the government is currently formulating a regulation that could be issued either as a minister's regulation or a circular letter according to necessity. The regulation will be issued at the earliest. He further said that the regulation will draw inspiration from a similar instrument implemented recently by the European Union. Minister Setiadi added that while designing the regulation, the government will factor in the risks associated with the use of AI-powered products and services with a focus on regulating its application rather than the technology itself. The total value of investment realization in special economic zones (SEZ) this year reached 167.2 trillion rupiah or around 10.7 billion US dollar, according to a statement from the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday. Acting Secretary General of the National SEZ Council, Susi Wijono, noted that the 20 SEZ that had been operational managed to record success and made contribution as evidenced by the cumulative investment value reaching 167.2 trillion rupiah as of fourth quarter of 2023. Deputy Minister of Communication and Informatics Nezar Patria stated that digital transformation is a supporting aspect for Indonesia to achieve its goal of becoming a country with the fifth strongest economy in the world. This was affirmed by Nezar at the National Digital Transformation Index seminar on Wednesday. He also pointed out that digital transformation is predicted to be able to encourage national economic growth and enable Indonesia to become the country with the fifth strongest economy in the world. The Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing ensures that buildings and basic infrastructure built at the new capital city IKN Nusantara would be inspected under a commissioning program. The inspection process for buildings and infrastructure that have been built at IKN will definitely be carried out. This was conveyed by the Ministry's Secretary General Muhammad Zainal Fatah in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also stated that each building and infrastructure at IKN will be scheduled for commissioning. Fatah further noted that his side is responsible for preparing basic infrastructure at Nusantara according to the government's mandate. Let's turn to the international news. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank approved $4.5 billion in debt forgiveness for Somalia Wednesday after the Horn of Africa nation completed years of financial reforms under the Heavily in Debt Poor Countries Initiative, or HIPC. As reported by VOA.com, the initiative was launched in 1996 by the IMF and the World Bank to help the world's poorest countries achieve debt sustainability. In a statement, the IMF and the World Bank said the debt relief will facilitate access to critical additional financial resources that will help Somalia strengthen its economy, reduce poverty, and promote job creation. An alliance of ethnic minority insurgent groups in Myanmar on Wednesday reaffirmed its commitment to defeat the country's dictatorship days after the ruling military said it held China-mediated talks with the rebels. As quoted by VOA.com, fighting has intensified in the past 6 weeks in Myanmar, with the Three Brotherhood Alliance launching coordinated attacks on military targets near the northern border with China. The assault has emboldened pro-democracy militias to do the same elsewhere, presenting the biggest battlefield challenge to the junta since a 2021 coup. Rami Khoury, the director of global engagement at the American University of Beirut, said the U.S. and Israel have backed themselves into a corner over the war on Gaza and are now seen as evil people in the eyes of most of the world. As reported by AlJazeera.com, according to Khoury to Al Jazeera, if you look at the polling evidence, demonstrations, the vote at the UN, any measure that you take, almost the entire world, with the exception of one or two smaller countries and the United States, are critical of what Israel is doing, heavily critical. That is very troubling for the United States, and Khoury said, adding that the U.S. is falling diplomatically in the Middle East. Well, listener, that's a newsline.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Sriwijaya exhibition connects the common ties of Buddhism between Indonesia and Japan. The Sriwijaya exhibition, held at the Embassy of Indonesia in Tokyo from December 12th to 21st, 2023, aims to connect the common history of Buddhism in Indonesia and Japan. Head of the exhibition team, Gatot Gautama, said in Tokyo on Tuesday that the main thing in this event is introducing the Sriwijaya Kingdom to the Japanese people and the connection of the development of Buddhism in the 7th to 13th century, which was almost the same in Indonesia and Japan. Gatot explained, based on the discoveries of archaeologists and historical sources, Sriwijaya Kingdom had been established in the 7th century and reached the peak of its glory in the 8th to 11th centuries before the ending in the 13th century. During this period, Buddhism in Asia was also developing, including in India and China. Buddhism developed through the Mahayana school in the northern and eastern regions such as Nepal, Bhutan, Tibet, Mongolia, China, Vietnam, Korea, and Japan. Meanwhile, the Theravada school is growing in southern regions such as Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Thailand, and Cambodia. In Indonesia, the Theravada teachings appeared first. Then, in the 7th century, adherents switched to Mahayana teachings, which at the same time also developed in Japan. With these historical facts, Gatot hopes to attract the interest of the Japanese people, especially culture lovers, to study Indonesian culture, in this case related to Sriwijaya Kingdom or Buddhism. Besides that, he continued and also hoped that the exhibition can be the beginning of collaboration between Indonesia and Japanese researchers in the institutions, universities, or individuals. Indonesian researchers could also invite Japanese researchers to research in Indonesia, such as researching the Muara Jambi site, which is a legacy of Sriwijaya. The exhibition displays a historical map of Buddhism spread in Asia, some photos of the Muara Jambi site, and Shibori cloth, which is believed to be forerunner of batik and developed during the spread of Buddhism in Indonesia. And that was Diplomatic Corner.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on December 14, 1949 about the signing of the Constitutional Charter of the United Republic of Indonesia, or RIS. After independence, the Netherlands didn't necessarily recognize Indonesian sovereignty. To end this conflict, various negotiations were held between Indonesia and the Netherlands, namely Linggarjati, Renville, and Roundtable negotiations, which decided to establish the United Republic of Indonesia. On December 14, 1949, in Jakarta, a meeting was held which was attended by representatives of the Indonesian government and the state or regional governments that would become the United States of Indonesia. The meeting discussed and approved the Provisional Constitution as the Constitution of the United States of Indonesia. The charter entered into force since the establishment of the United States of Indonesia was ratified on December 27, 1949. Moving on to an event on December 14, 1981, when Israel passed the Golan Heights Act. The Golan Heights is a plateau on the border of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Previously, this area was Syrian territory, but Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syrian hands in 1967 during the Six-Day War. On December 14, 1981, Israel passed a law regarding the Golan Heights. The content of the Golan Heights law read that the law, jurisdiction, and administration of the State of Israel governs the territory of the Golan Heights. We end today in history with an event on December 14, 1995, when the Dayton Agreement was signed. The Dayton Agreement was an agreement to end the Yugoslav War, which had been going on for 3 years. The war was an ethnic conflict between Yugoslavs, mostly between Serbs against Croats, Bosnians and Albanians, Bosnians and Croats. While in Macedonia, it was between Macedonians and Albanians. This agreement was concluded at Wright-Patterson Air Station in Dayton, Ohio. This peace agreement was signed in Paris, France on December 14, 1995. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia highlights Indonesia has great capital in achieving Golden Indonesia 2045. Indonesia has a great capital in achieving the Golden Indonesia 2045 with a strong economic resilience amid global situation. The Indonesian economic growth had returned to the level before COVID-19 around 5% for 8 consecutive quarters and one of the best in the world. That was stated by the Indonesian Coordinating Minister of Economy, Airlangga Hartarto, in Econ Goes to Campus in Bandar Lampung Monday. Minister Airlangga said 2045 will be a precious moment for Indonesia. There will be the window of opportunity for demographic bonus that will only happen once in a nation's civilization. The success in using the moment will also support Indonesia to be free from middle-income trap country to high-income country. In his keynote speech, Minister Airlangga explained that the Indonesian government currently is encouraging the downstreaming optimization supported by the abundant Indonesian national resources potential like agriculture and minerals. Besides, the government had issued the Government Regulation No. 36, Year 2023 on Forex from export in implementing the 1945 Constitution Article 33, Verse 3, where the earth, water, and natural wealth in it is controlled by the country and to be used as much as possible for people's prosperity. In the Econ Goes to Campus, joined by 400 students of political science from 28 universities from across Indonesia, Minister Airlangga also mentioned the achievement of Indonesian government in facing the global uncertainty situation, like the success in handling COVID-19 and the success in Indonesia G20 presidency, APEC, and ASEAN chairmanship 2023. According to Minister Airlangga, this must be continued because it is related to socio-politics and international relations that is currently concentrated on economic politics. Minister Airlangga added through the Econ Goes to Campus that the coordinating Minister of Economy attempted consistently to disseminate various government policies so the public understanding, especially the younger generation, will improve, including the use of demographic bonus. In the interactive activity, Minister Airlangga expected the students to support the realization of Golden Indonesia 2045. At the same time, it opens an opportunity for the current young generation to lead and support Indonesia's active role in the global level to support national interest in 20 years. That was My Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia.
Memaksaku rindu semakin menyerang, kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku ingin terbang jauh. Awan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran. Namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwa. Andaikan ku dapat mengungkapkan bersinar cerah menerangi jiwaku. Andaikan ku dapat mengungkapkan perasaanku hingga membuat kau percaya.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
When traveling to West Sumatra, we recommend visiting the Mandeh tourist area. The Mandeh area is nicknamed the paradise in the south. The natural charm is so beautiful. You will be spoiled with views of the beach and a group of islands. You can tour the island, dive, snorkel, and take a culinary tour. If you visit Mandeh, one of the most popular and most visited places is Paku Mandeh Beach. Paku Mandeh Beach offers clear water and clean stretches of sand, plus stunning sunset views. Paku Mandeh Beach is located in the Mandeh area, precisely in Nagari or the village of Sungai Nyalo Mudiak Aya, in the district of Koto, Tarusan. From Padang, the capital of West Sumatra, it only takes about 1 hour by car, with a distance of 47 kilometers. Paku Mandeh Beach is easy to reach because of its roadside location. The ticket price for Paku Mandeh Beach is quite affordable, 5,000 rupiah, or about 30 cents per person during holiday. On weekdays, it is free of charge. When you arrive there, you will be amazed by the beach, which has white sand, fine and clean. The sandy beach stretches for 800 meters. You can spend your time playing with sand, beach, volleyball, football, and kite. The waves are also small and the bottom is not rocky. It is very comfortable and for showering and swimming. There are also water sports activities there, from snorkeling to banana boats. For those of you who want to relax in Paku Mandeh Beach, there are rows of 3x3 meters wooden huts overseeing the sea. Several swings are also available for playing. Another attraction of Paku Mandeh Beach is its sunset beauty, so don't miss the lovely sunset on the beach. Paku Mandeh Beach is equipped with a parking area, toilets and restaurants.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Well, listeners, Voice of Indonesia, today's miscellany comes with the title The Spice Roots Exhibitions. Listeners, as an archipelago rich in spices, Indonesia has long been the center of trade and cultural heritage. To celebrate and trace back the history of the spice trade routes from the past to the present, an exhibition entitled The Spice Roots, The Spice House of the World was held by the Museum and Cultural Heritage or the Indonesian Heritage Agency. This exhibition has been held at the Museum of National Awakening in Jakarta from December 9th to 31st, 2023. Listeners, this exhibition shows how spices were spread long before Europeans' expeditions to Indonesia. This exhibition presents six primary installations: the Spice Path Collection Area, the Borobudur Bas Relief Replica, the Spice Plant Herbarium, and Spice Path Interactive Map Installations, the International Spice Application Panel, and the Borobudur Ship replica interactive installations. The objects displayed in this exhibition are certified pieces. Some of them are ancient inscriptions and currency related to spices in the archipelago. Listeners, not only exhibition but also several activities are held, including sharing sessions, weekend Kongko sessions, spice rumpi sessions, action sessions for the earth, spice country banquet sessions, and music performance session every weekend. Indonesia is the mother of spices that give birth to the king of spices, such as clove, nutmeg, and sandalwood, which became the primary commodities. In their glorious era, these spice commodities had a higher value than gold. Various artifacts, historical record, and cultural uniqueness illustrate the past activities of the archipelago people who built the global trade route called the Spice Routes. That was miscellany.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Coming up next is a song from Naif. Naif is a band formed on October 22, 1995. There were initially 5 members, namely David in vocal, Emil in bass, keyboard and vocal, Jarwo in guitar and vocal, Pepeng in drum, percussion and vocal, and Chandra is keyboard, piano and synthesizer. But in 2003, Chandra quit it. In 1998, they released their first album entitled Naif. There are some top hits in the album, such as Picnic 72 or Picnic in 1972. The song depicts how teenagers are dating in the early 1970s, which is inspired by parents' old pictures. But the melody is inspired by an Indonesian legendary band, Kus Plus. This album ranked 22nd in Rolling Stone Indonesia's magazine 150 Best Everlasting Album in Indonesia. Well, here is Picnic 72 by Naif.
Of Indonesia.
Masalah yang tak kunjung henti. Bukan
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jodoh, kita pastikan menikah. anak jodoh takkan lari kemana. Ku mencari seorang gadis yang cantik juga manis, rambut panjang dan lurus, penyayang dan setia, sabar dan sederhana, menerima apa adanya, dan siap untuk hidup bersama. Kalau jodoh kita pastikan berjumpa, kalau tak jodoh kita hanya jadi kawan. Pastikan berjumpa, kalau tak jodoh kita hanya jadi kawan. Kalau jodoh kita pastikan menikah, karena jodoh takkan lari kemana.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at @voiindonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.